On Tuesday's front page, President Obama had a blunt conversation about North Korea with Chinese President Hu Jintao. The leaked diplomatic cables show the frustrations of trying to keep countries like Iran and North Korea from selling weapons to militants, and why military personnel face a higher threat from identity theft. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins after this.
This New York Times podcast is brought to you by Ford and voice-activated Sync, the in-car connectivity system that features turn-by-turn directions. Sync locates your destination in seconds and then audibly guides you through all your turns without additional hardware to purchase. Sync is a system that's subscription-free, and it's available exclusively on Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury vehicles. For more details, visit syncmyridepodcast.com.
Our top story says President Obama telephoned Chinese President Hu Jintao and told him he needs to put North Korea on a tighter leash. Just setting up the phone call took 13 days. White House officials said Hu Jintao wasn't ducking the call, but diplomatic relations between Washington and Beijing have turned chilly. The pressure on China was backed up by a show of solidarity from the U.S., Japan, and South Korea. Officials from the three countries met in Washington. Times reporter Mark Landler says that underscored China's increasing isolation. From the leaked diplomatic cables, American officials say they're struggling to block Iran, North Korea, and Syria from selling weapons to militants. Diplomats have carried surveillance photos and sales contracts to foreign governments and confronted top officials. Here's one example. On February 17th, Syrian President Bashar al-Assad assured a top State Department official that his government was not sending sophisticated weapons to Hezbollah. A week later, the Obama administration filed a confidential protest accusing Syria of doing exactly that. The cables also chronicle the secret diplomacy that began when fighting broke out between Russia and Georgia in 2008. Russia's neighbors, Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania, lobbied NATO to be included in a defense plan. That was problematic because the Obama administration wanted to reset the U.S. relationship with Russia. In the end, NATO added the three Baltic states to an existing defense plan for Poland. The six-nation talks on Iran's nuclear program got underway in Geneva. The U.S. is pressing for Iran to ease international fears that it intends to build a nuclear bomb. The talks were described as difficult. Iranian officials said from the start they would not compromise on their right to enrich uranium, which they say they're doing for peaceful purposes only. Few in the West or the Mideast believe that. The talks are to continue on Tuesday. Standardized test results from China show students in Shanghai are outscoring students in dozens of other countries, including the U.S. Chester Finn, who served in President Ronald Reagan's Department of Education, says if the Chinese can do that well in Shanghai now, they can repeat their success in 10 cities in 2019 and 50 cities by 2029. The U.S. ranked below 30 other countries on the math test with an average score of 487. Shanghai averaged 600. The gap was narrower in reading. In the race to be chairman of the House Appropriations Committee, big spenders are running as budget cutters. Three House members who want the post have taken home millions in earmarks over the years. Now Congressman Jerry Lewis of California, Harold Rogers of Kentucky, and Jack Kingston of Georgia are campaigning to convince GOP colleagues they can change the focus from spending to saving. Republicans are expected to vote Tuesday on who gets the job. The government warns people to guard their Social Security numbers closely, but it's done a poor job of protecting those same numbers for military personnel, and that puts soldiers at a higher risk for identity theft. That's the conclusion of a scathing new report written by an Army intelligence officer turned West Point professor. Lieutenant Colonel Gregory Conti says the military even uses the last four digits of Social Security numbers to keep track of soldiers' laundry that's handled by foreign workers overseas. He says they could memorize the numbers and pass them along to identity thieves. We'll go inside Tuesday's Times after this.
This New York Times podcast is brought to you by Ford and voice-activated Sync, the in-car connectivity system that features turn-by-turn directions. Sync locates your destination in seconds and then audibly guides you through all your turns over your car or SUV's audio speaker system without additional hardware to purchase. You can also save several destinations you may use frequently, such as home, and Sync will guide you there. Sync is a system that's subscription-free, and it's available exclusively on Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury vehicles. For more details, visit SyncMyRidePodcast.com.
Inside Tuesday's Times, the Supreme Court agreed to hear an appeal in the biggest employment discrimination case in U.S. history. That could involve billions in back pay for up to 1.5 million women who work for Walmart. President Obama and congressional Republicans are close to a deal on extending the Bush-era tax rates. The president has reportedly agreed to give up something that was a centerpiece in last year's economic stimulus bill. That was a tax break for low- and middle-income people. Times reporter David Hershenhorn explains the political calculus.
It is a realignment of the power balance on Capitol Hill and in Washington, with the White House recognizing it has to negotiate with Senate Republicans. That'll be even more true starting next year when Republicans have a majority in the House. What we're hearing is a deal that would include a perhaps two-year extension of the Bush-era income tax rates at all income levels, not just for the middle class, as President Obama had wanted, and an extension for at least a year of jobless aid, unemployment insurance, for the long-term unemployed. That help has started to run out in many parts of the country. So that's what we're hearing are the broad parameters. There are lots of other things in the mix.
Times reporter David Hershenhorn. Tuesday's Business Day looks at a billion-dollar brouhaha between Starbucks and Kraft that's turning into the venti latte of corporate divorces. At issue is the coffee sold in supermarkets. Kraft wants a federal judge in New York to stop Starbucks from breaking a 12-year partnership. It calls for Kraft to distribute Starbucks packaged coffee to grocery stores. Starbucks says Kraft wasn't doing enough to promote its brands. Tuesday's New York report says City Taxi Commissioner David Yasky was in a lot of cabs last month. He appeared on the video screens in the back seat, telling passengers to fill out an online survey for the Taxi of Tomorrow contest. Some passengers didn't like his performance, neither did the New York Post, but Yasky says the promos did their job. More than 18,000 people filled out the survey. That's our preview of Tuesday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.